The post-conciliar crisis. According to Dulles, Vatican II, by subordinating the institutional or hierarchical concept of the Church to others just mentioned, is partly responsible for the post-conciliar crisis. Too many models are at work, different ecclesiologies which have not achieved the uniting character that the institutional model had but, rather, have made divisions wider and more painful. This situation must be healed. On the one hand, no significant structural changes have been made since Vatican II. The institutional model, though theoretically rejected, is still at work. On the other hand, no one of the other models is widely accepted in our days. We must find a model which could overcome the existing polarizations and serve to integrate and channel the ecclesial experience of contemporary Catholics. This is not, of course, a panacea to solve the deep theological, structural, and pastoral problems that the Church has, and we should say that Dulles is, at this point, too optimistic. The Church does not change only by the introduction of new theories, no matter how sound they are, but, rather, through profound conversions which will not be achieved without struggle. Nevertheless, we should still believe in the power of right ideas and images to produce right praxis. Orthodoxy and orthopraxis should walk hand in hand. That is why the community of disciples is being proposed as the alternative model. The Church as the community of disciples. Biblical basis. Above all, a fundamental fact appears in the Gospels: Jesus formed around himself a group, a community of disciples. The word disciple appears 73 times in Matthew, 46 times in Mark, 37 in Luke and 70 in John. Most deeds and words of Jesus were done and said when the disciples were present. If we go back to the Gospels in the light of this understanding, applying the term athe disciples to what we call athe church, it becomes obvious that the evangelists speak of the common life of the disciples with Jesus. They are quite conscious of the ecclesial significance of their statements. We know that the first Christian communities preserved materials from which the evangelists later composed the Gospels. Therefore, we can conclude that if the post-Easter communities selected the materials that they had about Jesus' life in such a way that the final composition strongly emphasizes the community of disciples that gathered around Jesus, it was done in that way precisely because in that community they saw the genuine model of what the Church ought to be. As Dulles points out, some contemporary authors have great difficulty in answering the question whether Jesus intended to found, and did found, a church. While admitting certain complexities in this question, I would contend that the difficulty is solved once one recognizes that Jesus did deliberately form and train a band of disciples, to whom he gave a share of his teaching and healing ministry. Community of disciples is precisely what Jesus undoubtedly did found, and once we recognize this fact, we can apply to our life in the Church many of the Gospel passages dealing with discipleship. Jesus himself was the disciple of the Father. As he said, according to John, "Truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever he does the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all that he himself is doing." And, according to Matthew, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Though in the post-Easter community the Lord is absent, this discipleship remains. Christ is still the Master, the only Master, as there is only one Father. His relationship with the new disciples continues now through the apostles, through other disciples. They speak in his name. As Jesus had said, "Whoever hears you hears me. And also, as the Father has sent me, I send you." Thus, Paul could write to his Corinthian converts, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." The disciples, however, did not take the place of Jesus and become, for example, the heads of other rabbinical schools. As Dulles points out, the function of the apostles was simply to enable others to enter into an immediate relationship with Jesus in the Holy Spirit. When his ministers speak the message of the kingdom of God or worship his name, Jesus makes himself mysteriously present in their speech and actions, so that others may find him in word and sacraments. Thus the Church becomes, after ascension, the place where authentic discipleship to Jesus himself remains possible.